I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter number 29, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Exodus chapter number 29. Begin reading in verse number 38. Exodus 29 and verse 38. I know I've been preaching on honoring Christ. We looked 1 week at honoring Christ with our message, and a couple weeks ago, honoring Christ with our music. And my next in the series was supposed to be honoring Christ with our money. But the Lord put this on my heart today, and as I was preparing and trying to be ready, and I've been studying, but this is what God put in my heart to preach tonight. I want us to read together as we look at this and we see the children of Israel. The Bible says in verse 38, "Now, this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the flour, the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there will I meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle, the congregation, and the altar. And I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth from out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." And I want to preach on this thought tonight from verse 46, knowing that He is God. Knowing that He is God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the time You've given to us to come and to sing to Thee, and Lord, to give to Thee and to pray to Thee, to have fellowship with the brethren. But Lord, we come now to the time of preaching. Lord, we recognize our need of Thee. I know I need You to help me tonight. I need to be strengthened by Thy Spirit, by Thy power. I need Thine unction. Hide me, dear Lord, please, behind the cross. Tonight, Lord, may we have a fresh look at Thee. May we go out with a greater desire to live for Thee, to serve Thee, to love Thee, and to lead others to Thee. Lord Jesus, I pray that You'll help me to say what needs to be said, and Lord, refrain from my thoughts the things that need not be said. Lord, would You give us clear direction in this service tonight? May Christ be honored, and may You be well pleased with all that takes place. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. One of the great facts in all the world is the fact that we can know God personally. We can have a personal relationship with the Lord. But one of the saddest facts of all the world is that there's so many that do not know God. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And until you know the Lord, you'll have no peace, no harmony within yourself. You're out of tune if you don't know God as your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we see here that God is talking to the children of Israel, and He is saying there's some things that needs to be done. And in doing these things, you can know that I am the Lord, that I am God. I will be your God. I will be your Lord. I'll be everything that you need me to be. And when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to know God, not just about God, but when we come to know God, then we're going to begin to realize that we can have a life that's filled with everything that we need. We won't have to look to a bottle. We won't have to look to a pill. We won't have to look to some kind of a sensual thing that will fulfill our needs. We'll look to the Lord, and He'll take care of everything. Now think about America tonight and how we become such a materialistic society. And America as a whole now looks and thinks that we need all these different things. We've got to have this and got to have that. We've got to keep up with the Joneses, you know? And I want to say tonight that I don't think America's problem is a financial problem. I don't think America's problem is a political problem. I think America's problem is a spiritual problem. Because the America that knew God no longer knows God. The America that once honored God no longer honors God. And we're seeing the same thing happen with us that we find happen to the children of Israel. But God gave a promise here. He says, I will dwell among the children of Israel, will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord, their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God. When we begin to understand this, God has some promises. And the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible teaches us that righteousness exalteth a nation. So when we begin to realize this, we begin to see that God wants to bless a nation. God wants to bless a people. But we can bring it down. God wants to bless us personally. And God wants to do some great things in our life. I believe that a person is born with a desire to know God. And we're born with this vacuum in our heart that desires to bring God into their lives. And when that God is not revealed to you, and when you push that God away, then you're going to begin to realize that you're hungry for something. And you'll look everywhere, but you'll never be satisfied. You can look to every avenue, but you'll never be satisfied if you don't know the Lord. You can try everything. You can try to be the most popular person in school, or the most popular person at work, or the most popular person in your family. You can try to cover everything up with a joke. You can try to laugh everything off. But you will never be satisfied until you know God. But boy, when you know the Lord, I want you to understand, He can fulfill every need in your life. He can do great and mighty things. And when you come to know God, then you really begin to live. The Bible says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. When we're living and moving in God, we're like a fish in water or a bird in the air. We have direction from God. We have something in our life, someone worth living for. But if you do not know God, then really you have nothing to live for. And we're living in a society that has seemingly everything to live with, but nothing to live for. Most homes have 2, 3, 4 cars in the garages. Television in every room. Kids wear the finest of clothes. And everything seems to be great, you know? But it seems like those props are being knocked out from under us. And you know what I'm finding? Is that the people that are making it through these difficult times in our nation are the people that know God. I look and I'm concerned about what's going on in our nation, but I'm not worried. Because I know God's going to take care of me. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, the song says it well. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. But it all comes from knowing Him. And if you don't know Him tonight, you're missing the greatest thing you could ever have in your life. God says to the children of Israel, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. And this is the answer to our life, that we may know the Lord, that we may know the God of this universe. And we'll give you 3 areas tonight where you need to know the Lord. You need to know Him, number one, in the matter of salvation. You need to know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that heaven's going to be your home. As a matter of fact, I can already say it, heaven is my home. I'm not there yet. But my name's already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know exactly what heaven's going to be like. I don't imagine there'll be any need for a mailbox in heaven, but if there was, my name would already be posted, you know? But I know that I have a place, I have a home, and heaven's going to be my home because I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Israelites certainly had known the Lord in the matter of deliverance from Egypt, which is a picture of our salvation, how we've been delivered from the world. And God had delivered the children of Israel from Egypt with His great and mighty hand. And we know the things that he did and all the plagues, and we have an understanding of all these different things, but it was all part of God's plan. I want you to understand that at just his very thought that the children of Israel could have been delivered, but he needed them to trust him. God in his sovereignty could do great things, but the Bible teaches us that we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of whether you believe on him or not, he exists. He is God. He is the Savior, and he is the only way to heaven. And the only way that you can get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Israel had known the Lord in the matter of deliverance, and they surely could never forget the days of slavery and the terrible things that was wrought at them through the hand of the taskmasters, how they just loaded them down. And from the very moment of their deliverance, they were to set aside a time where they would observe a great feast, which is what we're reading about here, some of these feasts called the Feast of the Passover. They were to never forget what God had done for them. They were to remember it throughout their generations. The first thing is to know God, and we can know God tonight. To know him in the matter of salvation. We can know him in salvation. We can know him in a way that changes our lives. Have you ever trusted Christ? Has there ever been that change in your life? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. My Bible teaches me that when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not business as usual anymore. As a matter of fact, the Bible says when we get saved, we're changed. We're a new creature. We're a brand new person. We still drag around this old man. We still drag around the flesh. We still drag around a lot of these things, but we are a new man in Christ. And dear friends, you become a new man when you trust Christ as your Savior. When you know God, what a difference it makes in your life. When you know the Lord as your Savior, what a difference it is. I think about Paul. Paul had a lot of religious feelings, a lot of religious desires. There's no doubt. He really believed he was serving God and persecuting the church. But when he came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior, all those things changed, didn't he? He went from being a persecutor to a preacher. Now, God's not going to call every one of us into the field of preaching tonight if we trust Him as our Savior, but He will change your life. One thing I found out since I've been saved is sin is no longer acceptable. It's no longer acceptable in my life. Are you saying, preacher, that you don't sin? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when I do, I don't feel good about it. Before I got saved, I didn't feel good about it because I knew my mom and dad would be disappointed in me, you know? But I felt like I can get by with it with them. Before I got saved, you know, I could do certain things and think mom and dad will never find out about it. They usually did find out, but sometimes they wouldn't find out, you know? And I think, phew, got one by then. But now every time I think a bad thought or I don't do what I'm supposed to do or I do something that I'm not supposed to do, I'm reminded that God knows. And I never get by with it. Knowing God in the matter of salvation is something that will change your life. How many of you are looking tonight for something that's just fulfilling? You know, before salvation, there's a void. Before you know Christ as Savior, there is an emptiness. And I could tell you story after story of people that have tried to fill that emptiness with all kinds of vices. There's some that have tried relationships. They go from one relationship to another relationship. There's some that's tried beer and liquor, alcoholic beverages. And all they find is at the bottom of an empty bottle is still an empty life. There are people that have tried through the avenue of drugs, and they find out when the drugs have worn off a little bit, that little bit of fun that they thought they had for a few minutes has just brought greater destruction to their life. But then when they met Jesus, they found that which satisfied. and change their life. What a Savior. What a God we have that wants to make Himself available. And tonight we need to know Him in the matter of salvation. The children of Israel knew Him in the fact that He saved them from the Egyptians. He delivered them out of great bondage. He delivered them from the hand of the taskmaster. And tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a slave to sin. You are in bondage to the taskmaster, the devil. And all he's going to do is he's going to use you, he's going to abuse you, and he's going to try to destroy your life. But tonight you can be set free through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friends, He'll deliver you just like He delivered the children of Israel, just like He delivered me, and just like He delivered countless others out here. He'll deliver you from sin and save you and give you a brand new life and make you a new creature in Christ and give you something worth living for and give you a life that is joy unspeakable and full of glory. We need to know Him in the matter of salvation. Secondly, we need to know Him in the miracle of survival. In the miracle of survival. He says, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. You could have called on any one of these Jews and asked them about the miracle that took place as they traveled, as they left Egypt to the place where they'd already come. They could tell you about the parting of the Red Sea for them to cross, and they could tell you about how that when the enemy was on their trail that the waters returned to their full power and destroyed the enemy. They could tell you how that God led them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They could tell you the mighty hand of God and how God helped them to survive. But through it all, we know that they complained a lot too, didn't they? I think we're a lot like the children of Israel. God's done great things for us, but we find ourselves complaining all the time. In the atmosphere of today's world, there's ever a time we need to know Him in the miracle of survival. It's now. There are a lot of people that are literally, they're taking their lives every day because of all that's going on in the world. There are people that are falling under the pressure of the economic crisis and the strains that the world is out there. And by the way, I believe that our society is trying to add to it more and more and more so that we'll not trust in God but trust in other entities like government. I'm seeing more and more things happen before us, and the sad thing is a lot of Christians are finding themselves looking to everywhere but the right place to help us to make it through. The children of Israel could give a testimony tonight that God will help us through. My grandmother went through the Great Depression back in the late 20s and early 30s, and she said she never knew it came and never knew it went, you know? When you have nothing to lose, then you can't lose anything. They were poor. They didn't have all this and all that. You see, that's what's happened. The world is wanting more and more and more and more. So they're trying to get more and more and more and more. And you know what happens? When they can't get more, they think life has stopped. But when you have Jesus, you're going to find out more and more is not what you need. You just need to trust Him. You need to put your faith in Him. The miracle of survival. I think about a story I heard one time about the first Russian astronaut, or I guess they call them cosmonauts, that circled the earth, and when he gets back, they asked him to make a speech, and he said, now we've explored the heavens, and I looked outside my spacecraft, and I didn't see God. In Russia, supposedly, they have a bronze plaque with his words on it. They said there's no God because the Russian cosmonaut didn't see Him. But in America, an astronaut that knew the Lord was asked what he thought about the cosmonaut's his speech that he made. And the Christian astronaut from America said, if he had opened the door and stepped out, he had known God. He'd have met Him in a hurry, wouldn't he? I thought that was pretty good. I think about difficult times and how we need to learn to trust God and how we need to understand that He is God and that He is there. I can't see Him with my eyes, but I know that He's there. And I know I'm saved by grace through faith, but thank God I feel Him in my life sometimes. I feel His presence and I sense His hand moving me and I know that He's there with me. I know that my God is real tonight. And I know I can trust Him regardless of come what may. He's able to take care of us. America was a land that once proclaimed that God was God. And now in the public spectrum, you can't even pray in Jesus' name. A few weeks ago, and by the way, this isn't just this president, but presidents in the past. A few weeks ago, our president was in another part of the world, and he said that we are not a Judeo-Christian nation, nor abide by those principles. But I want to disagree with him. We can't be a Christian nation because everybody that's an American is not a Christian. So you can't term it that way, but the principles have the Judeo-Christian principles are what have made America great. And I'd like to say to our president, and I've got a few things marked here, about 45 or 50 things, and no, I'm just kidding. Patrick Henry was asked a question one time, and this was his response. Bad men cannot make good citizens. It is impossible that a nation of infidels or idolaters be a nation of free men. It is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. And for 100 years now, maybe more, we've tried to get God out of the public realm. I was reading, and a man had come, had talked to the president of Argentina several years ago, and the president of Argentina asked him, says, I've been wondering why it is that South America, with all of its natural advantages, its mines of iron, copper, gold, silver, its rivers and great waterfalls, which rival Niagara, is so far behind North America. Babson replied, well, Mr. President, talking to the president of Argentina, what do you think the reason? He was silent for a while before he answered. The president of Argentina says, I come to this conclusion. South America was settled by the Spanish who came to South America in search for gold. But North America was settled by the Pilgrim Fathers who went there in search of God. What a nation. What a country. What we have and what a heritage we have. I think tonight that we need to be reminded of these things. William Bradford, Governor Bradford, wrote one time, says, as they were talking about how God had done great things and talking about the Indians and the relationships there, but he wanted to be sure that God got all the glory. He said, thus out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by His hand that had made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light 1,000, so the light here kindleth hath shone unto many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise. Isn't that amazing? Our forefathers knew that if our country was going to survive, it was going to take the hand of God. And they knew Him in the miracle of survival. And dear friends, if you study history, I'm not talking about the history that our society is teaching today, because they have changed history. Isn't that amazing? You can't change history. But they've reworded it, haven't they? In a book called Democracy in America, and this was a book, a Frenchman by the name of Alex de Tocqueville, he said, upon my arrival in the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention. And the longer I stayed there, the more I perceived the great political consequences resulting from this new state of things. In France, I had almost always seen the spirit of religion and the spirit of freedom marching in opposite direction. But in America, I found they were intimately united. that they reigned in common over the same country. Isn't that amazing that freedom and religion can go together? Religion in America must be regarded as the foremost of the political institutions of that country. In the United States, the sovereign authority is religious. There is no other country in the world where the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than in America. So regardless of who is in the office, I declare that America is a nation that's found on the principles from the Word of God. One other thing I would like for you to hear, there's several other things, but this one that I would like for you to hear, if I can find it. This was Washington, George Washington, the prayer at his inauguration. Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that Thou will keep the United States in Thy holy protection. Thou will incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, to entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that Thou will most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion. And without humble imitation of whose example these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication. Listen to this now. We beseech Thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know what they'll do now? If you start praying in Jesus' name, they'll cut the microphones off. They'll stop you. They'll hinder you. And we see the things that are going on around us and we think, how can we survive? Because we know God, that's how we can survive. America may not turn back to the Lord, but that doesn't mean we have to turn away from Him. As a matter of fact, that means we just need to stay true to Him. We need to be swinging the sword when Jesus comes again. And when He comes in the clouds, may He find us everlastingly at it. And when the world says there's no hope and there's no way, and when the president and the congressman and the senator says, you need to trust me, we need to say, no, there's only one God, there's only one King, there's only one authority, and that is the Lord God Almighty. May the Lord help us. We need to know Him in the matter of survival and the miracle of survival. I know that God's in the miracle working business and the providing needs. He's done it for me too many times, and He's done it for you too many times. God's been good to us, hasn't He? He's the God of miracles. And then we need to know Him in the measure of sovereignty. The measure of sovereignty. And this is something we need to understand, that He is supreme in power. And this is the area of the Jews' life where they really, really failed. They doubted the sovereignty of God. They doubted the ability of God. And they became so discouraged in the wilderness, and they began to complain, and they began to question God's ability, God's power, God's sovereignty. And they lost sight of Canaan, and they died in the wilderness. You know what Canaan is? Canaan's not heaven. Canaan is a type of rest, and God has rest for His believers in a world that seems to be chaotic. And tonight, this is it. You see everything's going on and we're wringing our hands and we're scared to death. But God's still on the throne. He has not changed. He promised He would provide our every need. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. We have a God that is able tonight, and we need to know Him in the measure of His sovereignty. The New Testament refers so many times to the fact that the Israelites never were able to enter into that rest because of their unbelief. And tonight, we need to enter into that rest because of our belief. We can trust the Lord. We can trust Him whatever's going on. We can put our faith and our confidence in Him. After Moses, there was a new generation that came along, and Joshua led that next generation over the Jordan, and they got to go to Canaan. God had to kill off some people first, didn't he? He had to get rid of a whole generation of people except for two, Joshua and Caleb. He got rid of a whole generation. I wonder what God's going to do in our day. I believe he's going to return soon. I really do. I say I hope he does, but I dread the judgment day so bad I'm not sure that I hope he does. We talk about how great it'll be when we're raptured, but the more I think about it, the more I realize that as soon as we're raptured, I'm going to meet the Lord Jesus face to face. And I'm going to give an account of what I've done with him since I've been saved. And I don't know that I'd want to do that right now. You know? You say, but John cried, even so come, Lord Jesus. Well, there's a difference between me and John. You see this? We need to know him in the measure of his sovereignty. And as we realize that he's sovereign, then, you know, the old statement says you can charge hell with a water pistol. Well, dear friends, you can do whatever it is you're supposed to be doing when you know that God's on the throne and he's going to take care of you. I've listened to the doom and the gloom. I've listened to, you know, hey, look, we're headed down a road as a society. And it didn't start 6 months ago. It started 100 years ago or longer in America. We're headed down a road where it's going to be socialism, fascism, Marxism. Could even end up being communism. But before we point it all at this one president, we better look back a few years. And I say tonight, the problem's not on the throne of the White House. It's not in the halls of the Senate. It's not in the bar rooms on the corner. It's not in the welfare houses. It's not in the state-run places where people that don't ever want to work go and get money. And everybody says, that's the problem. No, I'll tell you what the problem is. It's in the house of God, where the local church has not done the things that we're supposed to do. We need to know him in the matter of salvation. If you're saved, thank God. You need to know him in the miracle of survival. God's going to see us through. He's going to see us through. That doesn't mean we won't be on beans and taters. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I got more amens on that than anything. Everybody's hungry tonight. Yeah. It may be that we're in soup lines. It may be that we're doing things that we've never done before. But I'm going to tell you this on the authority of the Word of God. If you're one of his children and you're trying to live for him, do his will with your life, God will take care of you. Amen. And you'll survive whatever comes at you. You'll survive. Did you ever notice that God many times brings us to our lowest before he lifts us to our highest? My prayer is tonight that if God has to bring our country down, that he'll bring it down. He may bring it down in a screeching fashion, but if it'll help us to see our need for him, it'll be worth it. Nobody wants it, but I want the future generations to be able to know the God that we serve in the way that we've come to know him. I've never seen revival, true revival. The meeting I was saved in, I know there was several hundred people saved in that meeting. I realized that it went for 11 weeks. I understand it started out with just a few hundred and ended up with several thousand, and it was an independent Baptist meeting. I realized that. But I want to tell you something. It did not truly change our city, and revival always changes the place where it takes place. And we need to know him in the measure of his sovereignty. See, you know what's going to happen tomorrow? You don't, do you? But guess who does? You know what's going to happen next week, next month, next year? Hey, what's the stock market going to be like 6 months from now? What's the unemployment rate going to be like 6 months from now? Well, What's our economy going to be like 6 months from now? What's our nation going to be like 6 months from now? Are we going to be in more wars? Is North Korea going to do this? Is South Korea going to have to do this? We're going to have to go over to help them? Is Iran going to nuke Israel? I mean, are all these things going to happen? You begin to look and you begin to say, I just don't know if I can handle it anymore. But God already knows. And God said we can trust in Him. And I think it's time we trust in the God that brought us out of the world and promised us rest if we'll trust Him. Follow Him. May God help us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time of taking Thy Word and the reading of it and the preaching of it. Lord, may we not only have heard it, I pray that we'll heed to the truths of Your Word tonight. Lord, for those of us that have trusted You, we realize we belong to You. Lord, help us to trust You not only in this matter of salvation, as we've already done, but Lord, help us to trust You in the miracle of survival and the measure of Your sovereignty. Help us to realize that You're the same God that in the beginning created the heaven and the earth. The same God that scooped out the seas. And the same God that made the mountains. The same God created man, the same God, Lord, that dried up the Red Sea and filled it again, and dried up the Jordan and filled it again, the same God that defeated Goliath through a little stone, the same God, Lord, that's done so many, many wonderful things. Lord, help us to know You tonight in a way, Lord, that'll help us to live our life and accomplish Your will. And help us, Lord, tonight to give our life to doing Your will. Be with those that may be here without Christ as Savior. I pray that this night they've realized they need Thee and that they'll trust Thee. And for those of us that are saved, help us, Lord, to trust You in the miracle of survival and understand the measure of Your sovereignty, Lord, to see that You already see all things. And to know that we can place our faith and trust in You, not only for the present moment, but for the days that are ahead. God, would You grant that tonight? And Lord, may we be tender to the Holy Spirit. May we respond to Thy Word in a way that's pleasing to Thee. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, as the piano begins to